This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 15th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the United Association Political Education Committee. We have Mr. Stoltz from our Audit Division joining us. Please proceed when ready.
And I had anticipated reinforcements.
They all went out to lunch?
I thought they were right behind me.
Way behind.
Shall we wait for them?
Well, I think we can get started. The Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on United Association Political Education Committee, we talk about three issues. Excessive contributions that the committee apparently made to various candidates, having some problems tracking what their affiliates were doing in addition to what they were doing. An issue relating to the filing of 48-hour notices for independent expenditures. And this is a situation where these independent expenditures were not what we usually deal with, media and that sort of thing, but rather signs and hats and T-shirts and all those sorts of things. And the question of dissemination date came up. Most of the 48-hour notices on these were filed and the bills were paid after the election, which we sort of doubt was within 48 hours of distribution. But there's really no record on precisely when this stuff made it to public view. What the committee has done, and we think is a reasonable solution, is in the future they are willing to file the notices as of when they receive such materials from their vendors. And that would get it on the record most likely early, rather than try to figure out when all the locals pass the stuff around. The third issue had to do with some transfers back and forth to their locals and the way they reported those, and those have been amended, and I don't think there's much else to say about them. So with that, I would be more than happy, or we would be more than happy, to take questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Commissioner McGann.
I don't really have questions, but to cut to the chase, Mike, the issue I have is exactly what Mr. Stoltz talked about, which is when they report, I guess in this case it's yard signs or things like yard signs as IEs. It's tough for me to vote for an audit to make a finding that these folks failed to do independent expenditure reports when we really aren't sure when those reports were due. And I guess you could say, well, they should know when they handed the signs out to the public, it's their fault. On the other hand, it's not particularly clear, and that there's different ways and different approaches that are being suggested tells me the rule isn't particularly clear. Regardless of what we do in this audit, though, we need to make sure that if this does become a new way of doing things, the public is made aware, particularly other unions, and that this is not just something that ends up buried in an audit report, because someone else will stumble on this same issue. Now, what is the rule? Well, the general rule is you do an IE report within a certain time period after the communication is disseminated to the public. Signs are a little bit tricky because, one, there's a lot of them and people hand them out, sometimes volunteers and whatnot, so it's tough for those handing out the signs to necessarily incur the burden of trying to keep track of all that. So I think the auditors and the council's office tried to come up with a workable solution, which I think is a good idea, but I'm not sure that it's the right solution in a couple different ways. It's suggested that they could use the date that the national receives materials from the vendors. The problem with that is, well, it's not public, right? So that's not really an IE because no one knows about it yet, so that's not really consistent with the rule. And two, What if they decide to use the signs as restricted class communications and then later they decide to use them as IEs? You could see that happening where they're not really sure how they're going to use the signs. They just use them as needed. So I'm not sure that date works because they may never end up being IEs or they may become IEs long after that date. Another suggestion is the date when the local makes when the union makes them available to its members of the restricted class. That raises the same kind of issue. Who knows if that's public? Maybe it's when the national ships it to the local. That has other problems. So I objected and brought this to the table to maybe discuss this because a lot of folks probably don't think yard signs would require IEs anyway, but, well, if they're express advocacy and they come within the rules, I guess they do require reports. Be odd to think that bumper stickers would require IE reports when they don't require disclaimers, not to go back and go through it. There's no small items or impracticability exception, I guess, for IE reports. But without taking up a lot of time, since we're through the lunch hour, and I take up as much time as we want to take up, but it seems to me this is an issue that's going to come up. It's kind of union-specific. I don't really see this happening elsewhere. Party committees tend to buy their own signs, and they don't necessarily have the restricted class kind of thing. But I'd hate to see another union be doing it differently or not do an IE report or do a different date, because the idea is that the rules should apply to similarly situated folks the same way. I don't know where to go from here, because on the one hand, yes, they should have done an IE report, but on the other hand, we don't know really when that was due. And again, like I said, it could be their fault because they didn't write it all down, but is that really what the IE reporting regime contemplates, keeping track of when you hand out particular yard signs? That doesn't make sense either. So there's no good solution here. Maybe others are fine with when the national receives it from the vendors, but the downside there, as I addressed, is that could cause problems. It's a start, and I thank council and then the auditors for at least starting us down the road. But to create a new rule essentially in an audit gets tricky, because it's tricky for this committee to then would have a finding they did something wrong. And then it's tricky for the next folks to figure out, in some audit it's buried that when you're supposed to do this. So that's why I brought it to the table and taking up time. And we don't have to decide it today. Although today, one way to solve it is to put this in the other issues section and not actually make it a finding and say they should have done IE reports, but there was some we can put a passive voice, some confusion as to when it was due because of the nature of the communications and that kind of thing. We don't have to say because the rule was clear. We just make it passive, so we're not really saying who's at fault, and at least move it along if we want to move this union along, and at least conclude the audit. But this is an issue that I think we need to address at some point in the not too distant future. Because maybe people are just not doing IE reports at all. Maybe they're not calling them IEs. I guess these folks reported them as IEs after the election using the invoice date.
Of the 510,000, 324,000 were reported in December and when they paid it.
And they could have showed these as general overhead unless you happen to find a copy of the sign. You would have never known.
Looking at the invoice, you have a pretty good idea. Plus, they reported.
Maybe this invoice.
Plus, they reported them.
Right, but if they didn't report them as an IE, and the invoice didn't specify yard signs that contain express advocacy, and they just another union could show it as just general overhead, no way you would know.
You may not know.
And these guys actually tried to disclose, and they're in more trouble than maybe somebody who just says, "Well, we weren't sure if those were restricted class or what." This has come up in another context with shipping signs to unions, I think, somewhat recently.
2004 cycle with Drive.
Okay.
And there the debate was not what the dissemination date was. It was, were some of these items restricted class only type things and were some of them not? And
right.
The commission chose some were and some weren't. But they had filed no 24 or 48 hour reports, and so we were pretty sure that they weren't timely, and the date never really came up in discussion.
Right.
I think procedurally, in response to what Commissioner McGann said, I think procedurally that would be accurate. If there are not four votes to adopt any one of the three findings, then it would, when on the audit division drafts the next version of the report, it would go to the additional issue section. If there's a way to clarify this in a way that we can achieve some consensus and put out a policy statement or something to the effect that would provide the public more notice about this, I'd be supportive of that effort. I hear your point about if it just goes to another office, it's not really for public consumption at that point. But I think the challenge is it can't be the payment date, and that's what they used here. And that's the reason that I think, you know, the finding is from my perspective is accurate here, because it's certainly not the payment date. I hear the challenge in terms of when things are transmitted from different layers of an organization or passed along in a certain way. Maybe there's a bulk order for something and things are spread around to different folks, that there might be some there might be more than one date that is the triggering date for the report, but it's never the payment date. So that's the real challenge, I think, in this particular audit. But I think you're right. There's a broader question that we should try to answer if possible. I think counsel's office has tried to provide some options in terms of when the appropriate date might be.
If I could. It could be the payment date if they happen to be the day that they disseminated it.
If right. those coincided.
Right, it was just a coincidence. I'm not saying any of the suggestions by counsel are necessarily wrong, because we're essentially creating an application of a rule to meet unique circumstances. I think we need maybe some more options. I'm glad you mentioned a policy statement. Maybe we could do that. Maybe something interim. Maybe, I mean, we could talk rulemaking, but that takes forever and a day, and this is rather a sui generis kind of thing. And although some policies go out for comment, some don't, I would suggest maybe this does, at least briefly, because I don't know how unions ship around their yard signs. I can kind of guess, but somebody may come in and actually explain this to us in a way that gives us some more ideas and actually is more consistent with the reg. But I think going into this cycle, it makes sense that they know when their reporting obligations occur, and at least they have some sort of say. And what we do with these folks is a different question, but I'm glad that maybe there's some appetite to at least give these folks some guidance without having to do a whole, you know, rulemaking to change a rule that otherwise is you know, works in most applications on, you know, pretty well. It's just something for these kinds of folks.
Commissioner Peterson, and then Commissioner Walter wanted to think.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question, a factual clarification. I'm assuming this union has done this sort of thing in the past, and in the course of your in the course of the audit, did they ever mention how they had reported these in the past? Have they always used the payment date in the past? Have they used some other date? What information did you gather with regard to past practices? Yeah,
when we discussed it at the EXA conference, their concerns were, yes, we know we have to file the 24-48-hour notices. We have no idea when dissemination is with respect to materials and the type of independent expenditures we're talking about here. They haven't received RFAIs, especially in this case when they reported the independent expenditures in December. If you do pay for it in December, technically you're supposed to report in a memo entry on a date disseminated, as well as a debt. And then when you pay it, you report the independent expenditure and report paying off the debt. So I think they've always had the issue with dissemination. They've always filed the reports with the independent expenditures being the date they paid.
Okay, even though it would have probably been outside the scope of the audit, do we know, have they had problems sending out their 24 and 48-hour reports in the past?
Prior to the audit, I don't believe we know.
Okay. I was just wondering if we knew about how, I mean, has this been something that's been kind of going on and on, and they just, because they didn't know how to identify when the date of dissemination, have they always basically failed to file their 24 and 48-hour reports because of that confusion? But sounds like we don't know for sure exactly on that, so that's all I have.
Commissioner Walther?
I'm wondering if we just shouldn't put it in the additional issues section and then try and figure out the policy and maybe get some comment on it.
Commissioner Weintraub?
Move it along.
I am happy to engage in a, you know, in the exercise of trying to clarify this, issue a policy statement or whatever. I would be. I also had some concerns about that particular issue, although not necessarily the same concerns as my colleague. I was wondering whether there was a potential reporting hole being created. You know, if it's more than 1,000 but less than 10,000, and it comes in, you know, too late for the 48 hours and too late for the pre-election report, you know, but it's too early for the 20-day, for the 24 hours. You know, there could be like this little window where they don't report it before the election because of how, if they're, because of the earlier, because they're using the disseminate, if they were to adopt this policy of using the earliest dissemination date, that doesn't always result in more and earlier disclosure.
That's a gap.
Yeah. Sam Brown came up with that one. Clever man. I'm not even going to touch that. So, you know, I sort of was concerned about that, whether there was this potential reporting hole that maybe made that not a good date to use. But, you know, on reflection, I think they've got to use some date that's administrable. And if that's the most administrable date, the odds of that particular hole occurring seem to be relatively slight. I'm not suggesting that anybody would try and manipulate it so they get, you know, $19,000 worth of material, you know, 21 days out and don't get the extra $1,000 until 19 days out so that they just avoid the $20,000 trigger. Or is it nine and... is it a $10,000 share? Anyway, there's a way of doing it. There's a way you could manipulate it to avoid reporting. And I'm not suggesting that anybody would do that, but it could accidentally happen. It just probably wouldn't happen frequently enough for me to get too bent out of shape about. I think maybe using the date of distribution to the member organizations, to the member unions might be, because it would be closer to the actual dissemination date to the members of the union, might be more accurate, but maybe less administrable. And, you know, I suspect that actually figuring out when they give out every single yard sign would be completely unadministrable. But I think I would be willing to support the finding because, as the chair said, there's a lot of ways they could have cut this to try and get the information on the public record in advance of the election. And I think that if they had come up with some theory that would have, by which they did report it before the election, my guess is that our auditors probably would have said, all right, you know, that's good enough. The fact that they chose, you know, the one date that we're pretty sure is not the appropriate date, and that resulted in reporting after the election, makes me comfortable with approving the finding. You know, if there aren't four votes for it, there aren't four votes for it. I won't get a lot of heartburn over it.
Commissioner McGann.
The finding itself, I started by saying I couldn't support a finding that said, you know, they did something wrong. The finding really doesn't say that. The finding says that they comply with the auditor's recommendations, and it kind of leaves for another day or doesn't spell out what really happened. Could we perhaps adopt the proposed finding as is, but then in the other issue section, say the commission agreed to, you know, issue a policy statement regarding independent expenditure reports, you know, the contemplated in finding two for the yard signs and that kind of thing. It just puts something in the audit report that at least we lock ourselves in that we're going to do it. Because right now, if we adopt this today and the public reads it, they're really not going to know what happened. And the next guy's going to get caught up. And since it's fresh, maybe we can drop something in that says, say somebody happens to read this, they know there's something else to read somewhere else.
I guess my only...
That's the best way to do it. It's just one
suggestion. I think that obviously, even if we adopt this today, this audit report has got a couple of phases of the process to go through. It seems to me that it's not clear, you know, we have identified this other issues as an area where there hasn't been necessarily a full agreement of the commission or et cetera. But I would fully support putting in the text that the issues raised in this audit and noted in the council's memorandum, the commission intends to further explore and explain to the public what should be done somewhere. I guess I'm not exactly sure where it goes, but I'm certain that we can come up with an appropriate place for it. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm comfortable with, you know, putting that in the report somewhere. I do feel obliged to point out that the finding does say that they failed to timely file their 24-hour or 48-hour notices of their independent expenditure. It does actually say that. So, you know, if you're not comfortable, if you're not comfortable saying that, I wouldn't want you to be voting for the finding under false pretenses, thinking that it doesn't actually say that, that all it says is they're going to comply with audit recommendations.
But I think, well, I guess as I read it, there was the discussion of the interim audit report is that UAPEC basically agreed to, you know, develop a new policy to track, which is, I think, what is the, it's you know, since there are no, they can't go back and amend the reports, they can't have something to materially correct the record in because of amended reports because they don't have the information. But in lieu of that, they seem to be saying, we will be taking additional steps. Mr. Northen,
just wanted to add, the next stage to propose final audit report will pick up from the draft final audit report, which does say they didn't file the notices and which does say that they incorrectly reported independent expenditures that were disclosed after the election. That proposed report will then pick up with the committee's response. So you'll have the whole picture in the proposed report.
Is everyone comfortable? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you for that. First, well, they didn't file IE reports, and that's fine too. The interim discussion that they agreed to implement revised procedures. That's really the question: what procedures are there? And in three, this is coming back around, and maybe that'll flesh out. But I think we need to be the ones to tell them what the revised procedures are. And what I'm saying is that the suggestions that are on the table work, but there's probably others, and they may not work in all cases. And you brought up a great one about the gap. So, however we want to do it, we can move this along now. Okay. But it'd be nice to have something attached to this or something that we're going to do a little more.
So we would approve the recommendation memorandum with the and request that in the next draft of this report that the audit division include a statement that the commission intends to consider these issues with respect to IE reporting and make a public statement with respect to that. Is that sufficient?
Sure. That'd be great. Maybe if we hustle, we can actually have that working draft in place before this comes back to us. No, not you. Maybe we can get our working draft on the procedures.
Proposed should go pretty fast.
We can.
Okay.
The work process is amazing.
Bet a soda.
You doubt us?
No, but I will bet a soda.
Anything further?
We can move when we want to move.
Would someone like to move, in fact? Commissioner Weintraub.
So moved, Madam Chair. But before we do this, I have one more question for Mr. Stoltz. Mr. Stoltz, I know we're having your retirement party next week. Is this your final appearance at a public meeting?
It could well be.
Well, I would not want that moment to pass without expressing my sincere and deep thanks for your extraordinary service to the community at large, to the FEC. You know, we say, I think we built the building around you, Joe. You know, you were here before the agency was here, and no one has served with more honor and distinction and integrity and devotion to the mission of this agency than you have. So thank you. And I will tell you again next week, but, you know, bon voyage and have a great retirement.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's been quite a run, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Remarkable.
That's remarkable that you wouldn't trade it, but it has been great for us. And just in the short time I've been on the commission, Joe, you've been one of the best professionals I've seen walk down the halls, and it's been great to work with you at all times, even-tempered, dignified, informed, you know, memory like an elephant. It's been great, and I know that you've spread the good word as our ambassador through many countries who wish to have you back and like to have a partner to visit with, not only at the meetings but in the evenings. And your travel, because you're a great raconteur and have a lot of fun with the people that are there. And I always ask, the first thing I got asked when I went down to my first visit, I had someone who was going to be my interpreter, and she said, where's Joe? I said, you're stuck with somebody else this time.
So, thank you.
Thanks for everything.
Is there any further discussion on the motion? Perhaps we could finish that to approve the audit recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion carries 6-0.